Namaskar, this is Saurabh Jain and you are listening to My Digital Talk Show. On my show today, I have Neil Patel again. And this time, the session is exclusively on search engine optimization. So I've set some questions and I'm going to ask Neil all about search engine optimization today. So I'm super excited to host Neil like last time, since we had a lot of conversation and a lot of fun learning environment. Again, this time, there's going to be some serious questions because topic is SEO. So I'm all geared up for this session. If you guys are geared up for this session, just type down and say excited. All of you just type down and say excited so that we can have Neil on the show in just a few minutes. Just a quick question. How is your lockdown going? How excited are you for getting back to your work life? So just want to know something about what's happening in your personal life. Please feel free to share your thoughts in the chat section there. Would love to read all of them. Meanwhile, we'll see Neil joining us in about 2-3 minutes. So we'll accept his request the moment he sends me the request there. Happy to see you, Ankur. Hi, Wedgefoot Trails, Sumakshi. Hi, Piyush. Hi, Tarunima. Hi, Shubham. Hi, Rinkesh. Hey, Amit. Lockdown is boring for most of you. How many of you feel lockdown is extremely boring? And you guys can't wait to get back to work. Happy to see you too, Raju. Hi, Deep. Hi, Deepaksh. So people are sending me requests to go live with me. I'm not going to take any requests today because I'll just wait for Neil to come. And the moment Neil is here, I'm going to accept his request. So this session is a live interview with Neil. And today it's about the secrets of ranking number one on Google. So that's the topic. And how many of you here are bloggers? How many of you here blog on a regular basis? How many of you have a website, or do you do blogging, or you have practiced search engine optimization? So just share your thoughts in the chat. Devang says, lockdown situation, how to selling property, what will be the idea? Kya hum baat kara and kaisa marketing kara? Okay, I didn't get your question. Okay, hi Neil, what's up? Happy to see you. Let me send you a request. So Neil is right there and we're going to say a quick hello. We'll begin with a quick introduction and then a lot of questions. Hey Neil, what's up? How are we doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. Happy morning to you, by the way.
Yeah, same to you.
Good evening, actually, for you. Thank you. So Neil, we had a great response for the last live. A lot of people enjoyed it. Great comments. Many people wanted to watch the live session again. So it's up there. So today, this session, Neil, is about your favorite topic, which is something that you've gained your thought leadership on. The session today is about search engine optimization. And I have a lot of questions for you with respect to SEO. Are you ready for the session?
I'm ready.
Super. So I'm going to ask you questions, which is going to be a little technical also because the subject is so heavy, but you make it very light through your blogging, through your videos, and you've been doing a commendable job. So first of all, congratulations on doing a great job there, Neil. Neil, the first question is the most stupidest question that I've been seeing time and again. The question is SEO dead? Considering the way Google is taking up the space for advertisements, and then you see the local results. Do you think SEO is dead? I mean, what's your opinion? Obviously, you won't agree, but why do you think so?
Yeah, it's not dead. Is it changing? Yes. Is it getting harder? Yes. But there's still a lot of traffic to be gained from SEO. Google keeps growing in popularity year over year. So the way I look at it is it still works, but the days of just doing SEO are dead. What I mean by that is you used to be able to build a business off of one channel. And if you look at Facebook, they grew through the email invite flow. Saurabh invited you to join Facebook. Click here to join. Dropbox grew through referral programs, mainly through social media. Tweet to get more space. You know, there's businesses like TripAdvisor that grew just through SEO. Now, it doesn't mean referral marketing is dead or SEO is dead. It means just doing one channel is dead because it's too competitive. It doesn't produce as great of results as it used to. So now you have to take an omni-channel approach and leverage all of them. But again, okay, it doesn't mean that SEO's dead or social's dead or any of that. It's just they're not as effective as they were, but when you combine them all, they're still very effective. And it's not it doesn't mean that they're not effective because the channel sucks. It's not as effective because there's so much more competition. Everyone's creating businesses online. Everyone is trying to do SEO. Everyone's trying to do paid. There's over a billion blogs. There's only 7+ billion people in the world. That's roughly one blog for every 7 people. So think about how much competition there is now versus 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Okay, super. So, Neil, you're saying that omni-channel presence is important and just not rely on SEO is what you're trying to say. Just don't focus on SEO only is what you're trying to say?
Exactly. Like, look, what are we doing here? We're doing Instagram. We're going live.
Right.
You're known as a digital marketer. Are you mainly known for Instagram? Or are you mainly known for SEO and, you know, performance-based marketing? What are you mainly known for in India?
Basically for Instagram and personal branding. These are two of my core.
So those are the two core. All right, but you still do SEO?
I still do SEO, yes.
You do paid advertising?
I do paid advertising.
Right, you're doing conferences? So you're doing many things other than just Instagram. I know personal branding is quite vague, but you do more things than just Instagram. And the point I'm trying to get is you yourself are an example of omnichannel. You even build an email list and send out emails as well.
I've been doing email as well, right, yeah.
Yeah, it's a combination of all the channels that makes people successful. Whether it's for B2B, B2C, personal brand, it doesn't matter. You have to go omnichannel.
Fantastic. Neil, so how much organic traffic do you get on your blog every single month? If you wanted to share some numbers with us. What's the number?
The exact number off the top of my head. My data is also sampled. But if I look at Google Search Console, somewhere between 5 and 6 million.
5 to 6 million people every month. This is organic traffic you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. Okay. And what's the idea behind doing less number of blog posts, but more of podcast embeds and video embeds on your blog? I've seen the change in the trend. And I see more of these getting embedded on your blogs now. What's the reason behind it?
So podcasts, I do a daily podcast episode. It's easy. I do them in bulk. It takes longer to write content. For one blog post that I write, I can typically do 10, 15 podcast episodes. As for videos, you know, for one blog post that I write, I can probably do 10 videos.
Wow.
So it's not that blogging is ineffective. I'm just able to produce other content forms much quicker. Now, what's happening is eventually I want to get back to writing 2, 3, 4 blog posts a week. I just don't have the time, but eventually I will get back there.
Fantastic. So this is not for any strategic purpose, because I thought there's a strategy behind you embedding it. It's just that
it's optimizing for time.
Fantastic. Okay, super. So what's the frequency of a blog post that one needs to make to increase their domain authority? And as I ask you these questions, what are those three factors that's most important to increase the domain authority in 2020? And do you really think domain authority matters, first of all?
Sure. So I think authority matters. Okay, so your first question, your second part was,
My first question was about what's the frequency of a blog post one needs to have per week, and what are those three things that one needs to do to increase their domain authority in 2020?
Okay, so the third part was, is domain authority important? Although it's not Google metric, a higher domain authority, domain rating, domain score, whatever you want to call it, the higher in theory, the better. Blog post frequently, you want to do at least one a week. Ideally shoot for 3. If not more. And then the second question was the three factors for building up your authority?
Yeah, three factors correct? To build up the domain authority in 2020. So what are those three important factors now at this point of time?
Link building. The more links you get, the better off you're going to be. 2, build a huge email list, because when you have that email list and then when you release new content, you email them out. You get way more people seeing your content, sharing it, linking to it, so it really helps. And then the third one is build up your profiles on all the social channels, because the more reach you get when you share your content, more people see it, that means more people are likely to link to it in the long run.
Fantastic. My next question was actually, I had the same similar question, which was the question was about how email marketing really helps SEO. So I have noticed one thing. The larger your email list is, the better it is for SEO. So what is the correlation between email list and SEO? So what are the signals that really matters here?
I don't think there's necessarily a correlation, but search engines are looking at user metrics, bounce rate, you know, time on site, page views per visitor, things like brand query. So emails, the bigger your list, the more people that are going to be loyal to you, the more they're going to come back, the more they're going to resonate with your brand, the bigger it's going to build. And typically, the larger your brand, the easier it is to rank over time.
Fantastic. Okay. Do you believe offline advertising and personal branding on social media plays a very important role to increase the search volume and search volume of your name? And does search volume of your name is one of the stronger indication of your credibility on the internet, according to you? And does that really impact an SEO?
So pretty much both the answers is yes.
Okay. So what could be the way forward for someone to ensure that people search? So I'm sure, so for example, there are a lot of people who search for Neil Patel, right? That's because of the way your content is, so people look forward to go and research all your content. So what is that one person can do in order to increase the search volume for the name, for their very own name or for their business name? So what is that, of course, apart from content and email list, can they use effective social media effectively, or which platform of social media channels right now do you recommend them to be on compared to Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn? Where do you think can the personal branding be much stronger?
Yeah, so it's the rule of seven. When someone interacts or sees your brand seven times, they're more likely to remember it, come back to it, search for it. So the key is, how can you get interaction and engagement seven times with people? The easiest that you can end up doing is putting your content out there on a social platform that you think your audience is. So it's not necessarily, hey, you should use Instagram or you should use Facebook or you should use Twitter. It's, where is your audience? If your audience is all on LinkedIn, then use LinkedIn. If they're all on Instagram, use Instagram. If they're on all the platforms, use all the platforms, right? So the key is to push your messaging, to push your engagement, your interactions on all these platforms. Because what that help with is that I'll help spread the love, the reach of your brand, more people engage with you, which will then, in the long run, that'll help you get more brand queries, which helps boost your rankings.
Fantastic. Neil, there's been a lot of noise about the voice search. They say the future is about voice search. Do you have any specific metrics that proves that voice search has been significant in gaining traffic to your site, or is it too much of fad? What is your opinion on it? Because a lot of people are not able to get this, and they're not able to revamp their website or their blogs from a voice search perspective, and I think your opinion matters on this subject.
Okay, so think of it this way. With voice search, according to Comscore, over 50% of the searches are now voice.
Wow, that's amazing.
Number, all right? I believe that number is for the United States. I don't know if that's global, but either way, the trend is more people are using voice search, especially with Google Home, Alexa. Is there Alexa in India?
There is Alexa in India.
Is it Alexa popular? And,
yeah, it's getting popular. It's I wouldn't say that it's penetrated deep yet, but I'm sure with time, as it gets cheaper, it will start penetrating a lot more.
All right, so think of voice search this way. One, it's already popular, but two, it's hard to get traffic from it because people are usually using voice search for questions like, what is the weather? You know, how long do I bake a pizza for? How do I make a cake? It's more like how-to stuff. So I look at voice search as a great way to get brand recognition. But that, I look at voice as a winner-take-all scenario. See, with Google, when you do a Google search, there's multiple listings, right? You usually see 100, you go from page 1 to page 10. But with voice, it's one winner, winner take all. So you want to climb up there, you want to get there. There's not the technology yet to really monetize voice search yet. There's just an AI, a few others are working on it where you can monetize the voice search, but we're still quite a bit far. Once we get there, it's not about how much traffic you can get from voice search, it's how much revenue you can get from voice search.
Fantastic. So voice search and podcasting, do they have a very strong correlation? Do you think podcasts will be more discovered on voice search, according to you?
I don't know if it'll get more discovered on voice search. I think podcasting will get more discovered from iTunes, Spotify, places like that.
Fantastic. Now, there is a lot of noise in India about optimizing Google My Business. In fact, a lot of small business owners here, they don't invest in websites at all. They just have their Google My Business. Do you think with time, do you see this as a trend, that Google My Business will replace websites? Do you foresee something like that?
It won't replace a website, but it's great for a local, small, and medium business. And I think you'll see more and more people doing it. Easier. Google My Business will add more features. They'll try to make it, may not need a website because, look, Google is trying to make things better for the user. So in Google My Business, not only can you claim your business, but you can upload photos, you can upload videos. You can do so many things like that to make the experience and engagement better. And I would expect that it's going to completely their platform is going to continually improve over time to provide the features not only small and medium businesses need that are local, but also that consumers want to see if, you know, a business doesn't have a website.
Wow, cool. And do you think the reviews on Google My Business, people writing, giving you 5 stars, is that any indication for a better website results? Like, is it any indication for good SEO? Do you think there's a relationship between the reviews on Google My Business and the list, the rankings on your web, the rankings of your keywords on the website?
No, I think Google My Business helps Google My Business. It doesn't necessarily help the website. Think of it this: Google doesn't optimize for SEO; they optimize for user experience. So if a business has 5 stars and a website's rated 5 stars. Eventually, it may determine if a site is going to rank higher or lower because that's what users prefer. They're not trying to do things for SEO. They're trying to do what's best for a user. So don't look at it as, if I get 5 stars, will it help my rankings or not? Think of it as, if I provide the best user experience and people love my business, it'll help build a better brand where people keep coming back. It'll help cause more people to share us, rate us on all these sites. It'll cause more people to link to us. All these things will help your rankings over time.
Cool. That's a very well thought. So reviews don't matter because a lot of people chase reviews thinking that that's one of the ranking factors. The ranking factor is great user experience and, of course, great content. Is it true that a website with blog has a higher chances of ranking than the website without the blog?
From all the data we have seen, yes. Blog, adding amazing content, creating amazing user experience, you're much better off. If your blog has shit content, then not really. But if it has great content, then yeah.
Okay. Lately, I have seen that Google don't care about websites as much as caring about the blog post. So on the top 10 results, it's majorly blog post and not website. So is that the trend that it's no more about websites, but it's about great blogging? What do you say?
So don't think about Google not caring about a website or caring about a blog more. They care about what the users care for. And they're placing content higher because users have been searching over the years and they've been clicking more on the content results because that's what they're looking for. So Google is showing more of what people are looking for, because if everyone wanted to use Google and wanted to see commerce where you can purchase stuff or generate leads, if that's what people wanted, they would show it there, because if they're showing the content first and no one wanted to see the content, people wouldn't keep coming back and using Google. They would go to a different search engine. So they're putting up top what people want, and that tends to be a lot of educational-based content.
Fantastic. So there's one more question for you, and the question is, what are some of the high rewards and high effort strategies? High rewards and high effort strategies.
So one strategy that I love that produces amazing ROI is every time I do a blog post, I send out an email blast, I share my content on the social web, and then I do a push notification, and then I'll do another blast through Messenger bots.
Wow.
Like, that allows my content to really spread. And it's simple, but a lot of people don't do it.
So you're trying to say that every single blog post is what you try to promote?
Yes, keep in mind I don't release more than one a week, so it's not that hard.
And I used to see your face every other day on my browser notification. Do you still do that, or is that an old strategy?
No, I still do that.
You still do that. And do you think browser notifications matter now? Because I don't see your face anymore. For what reason, I don't know. Maybe there's some thing that has gone with my browser. But so how many visitors do you think do you get from browser notifications generally?
7,000 a day.
Wow, that's amazing. That's really good. So also many people really are perplexed that how long does it take for a new blog or a new website to rank on top of Google search results? Like, is there any time period, say 3 months or 6 months or just say 30 days? So how long, according to you, is the right time?
Within 6 months, you'll definitely see results. You may not be at the top, it depends on your keywords, but within 6 months, you'll definitely see results. Within a year, you're really going to get traction.
Okay. Social signals doesn't matter in SEO. Is it true or false?
Social signals indirectly help with rankings. We've also found that if you get a lot of social shares at the beginning, sometimes you'll shoot up temporarily. But I believe they have an indirect benefit.
Wow. What's your biggest success? What's the biggest secret of SEO success? You rock on YouTube, podcast, and in the world of blogging. All these three places for the word digital marketing, you are there on the top five. What's the secret?
Consistency. I consistently produce high quality content, and I'm just trying to crank out more and more. Like, I released a free course on SEO called SEO Unlocked, and it teaches you SEO from soup to nuts. So from pretty much start to end, I include templates, I include worksheets, PDFs. I break everything down step by step.
So did you talk about SEO Unlocked? Is it a free course or is it a paid course?
No, free. Instead of charging, I decided to just give it away for free.
Wow, and it's available on your website. What's the URL?
neilpatel.com/training.
So anyone who wants to learn SEO from Neil, just have to go on neilpatel.com/training. And that is an exclusive training on SEO. And a lot of templates too, which you can just download and start using right today. So this is like a gift for all those people who are watching us live right now. Neil, when people are competing with the listing sites, for example, in a real estate sector, there are multiple real estate listing sites that one has to compete with. And it's a very highly competitive arena. So what strategy would you suggest in that case? For example, in India, in a real estate case scenario, that you have to compete with Magic Bricks, yourproperty.com, multiple sites, not your property, but there are multiple such websites. So amidst these listing sites, how do you get how do you compete with this highly competitive websites there? What's the mantra and how long does it take for someone to crack? This is a question that somebody asked me to ask you.
Sure. So what I would do is, if I was competing with all these real estate websites, like the big ones, I would pick a niche. So let's say I'm doing Bangalore. I would do Bangalore luxury real estate and focus on apartments or condominiums, or I don't know what they're called in India. We call them condos here. So pick a niche and just only focus at that and be the best at that. And then you'll get more local traffic from that region and you'll do well. That's how you beat these big players, because they're not creating the best experience for one specific type of buyers. And India has such a big population that there's enough people who look for this stuff. Like, if you look at the real estate prices in Mumbai, they're ridiculous, right? They're so expensive. It's not cheap anymore. There's homes that go for $10 million in Mumbai, literally $10 million. You know, we can't even afford that here in America.
Right. Totally agree.
There's a lot of people with money in India.
So is in the U.S.
Yes, we have a lot of people with money here too.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, Neil, so UberSuggest, which is your keyword research tool, why would you recommend UberSuggest over any other top tools in the market, say HREF or SEMrush? Why do you think UberSuggest is completely unique?
You can do more for free, and it's great for beginners. Our audience is mainly beginners. We're not trying to focus on your advanced SEO and let us give you 100 reports. We're trying to help the beginners, the new businesses, the people who are just putting up a website, teaching them how to get traffic versus focusing on the ad agency who's trying to get their clients more traffic.
Cool. And which other tool do you recommend to people apart from Ubersuggest? Is there any other tool that you recommend? I know you won't, but still asking.
Yeah, there's a lot of amazing tools. I love Google Data Studio. We talked about that last time. Not too many people use Google Data Studio. It's one of the best free BI tools out there because you can connect all your marketing data into one platform using Supermetrics. Supermetrics allows you to pass data into Google Data Studio, so check out them as well. The other thing that I would check out is I love using MailChimp. I don't know if MailChimp's popular in India, but we love it here in America.
So that's your email marketing platform, MailChimp?
I don't use MailChimp myself because my list is too big, but I used to use MailChimp when my list was much smaller.
So which tool do you generally use for your email marketing?
Right now, I use a tool called ConvertKit.
Okay, I use ConvertKit as well. Fantastic.
And then eventually my goal is to build an email solution that allows you to do unlimited sends, unlimited contacts, 100% free.
Wow, that's amazing. And I hope it has a great delivery rate as well.
With amazing deliverability rate, yes.
So when are you expected to launch that, and what's the name of the platform? You're not finding
name it? Isn't released yet, but my goal is within 6 months.
Wow. So from a content person, you're becoming a product person, and it's a gradual shift. Is this because of the ideology of no more carrying the Neil Patel identity, but building products that stand on its own? Is that the whole thought process behind?
Yeah, it's not only building products on its own, but products get more traffic than the content.
True.
It's an easier way to just grow. I'm trying to build an ecosystem. So think about Microsoft Teams, right? Or Microsoft Office 365. There's Microsoft Teams, there's Word, there's PowerPoint, there's Outlook. They provide all the solutions, and a lot of them are free and really cheap. My goal is to provide a whole suite that makes your life easier. And a lot of it will be free, some of it will be paid, but the more I can provide, the better.
Wow, okay, cool. So some of the ranking factors of SEO right now, in 2020, as per the new Google algorithms, what would it be? Five ranking factors that you suggest to people. Considering the new algorithm of Google, what is those five things that you want people to do?
One, I want you to update your content more frequently. We found that when people update their old content, it does better. Two, I want you to stop writing mediocre content. If you're going to post something, because there's so many blogs for people to choose from, I want them to be super in-depth, thorough, amazing, useful. Three, we found that sites that have a lot of duplicate meta tags and title tags and content, even though they don't penalize for it, we found that those sites don't rank as well with a lot of the core updates. Four, focus on branding. Branding is one of the biggest factors in rankings. And when I mean branding, also your expertise, your authority, right? So whether that is speaking, having multiple speakers within your company, publishing a lot of content, going live, doing videos, from writing books, all this is branding, from attending conferences. Like, the more you can do to get your name out there, the better off you are. And last but not least, I want you to go live on all the social platforms once a week. And you're probably wondering, hey, Neil, how's that SEO? But if you go live, you're going to build a much more engaged audience. And if they're engaged, we found that they come back, they're more likely to share your content, and they're more likely to link it. When they're not engaged, they're less likely to link to you, and they're less likely to share your content.
Wow, superb. So, Neil, that's a really good insight. Those five tips are super valuable, and I'm sure all those people who are finding this amazing, type down and say amazing, all of you right there watching this show live. Neil, which is the podcast platform you use at the moment? Is it
We use Libsyn. I think that's what you're talking about, right? Like, for hosting the podcast and stuff?
Yeah, hosting the podcast, yes.
We use Libsyn.
Libsyn, all right. And all your YouTube videos, these thumbnails that you do. So now when I'm talking about SEO, and this is just the last two questions that I have for you. In YouTube, I have seen one thing. that people look at the competitors' content and they just try to copy it as it is because they know that it's worked for them and it will work for us too. Is this the way that a lot of people start their YouTube journey, or is it the right way? Or do you think this is one of the ways, and this has to be one of the ways, according to you?
Yeah, I think it's a good way to start because you can see what works for your competition and you can start replicating them, right? Look to see what the most popular videos are doing in your space and they'll give you ideas. There's also a YouTube video called the Hot Script, H-O-T script. It's from a lady named Sunny, I don't know her last name, and it breaks on how to create a video that does well in every industry, so check that out as well.
Can you just repeat, what was it called?
The Hot Script, H-O-T,
the Hot Script.
And then Script.
Hot Script, okay.
And it's by a person named Sunny, so it's her formula.
What role does thumbnail plays in the YouTube SEO? Because it plays
a lot because it's click-through rate, right? It's the same as Google and text. Your thumbnails play a big role.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much, Neil. It was a pleasure hosting you. Neil, when are you expected in India? Of course, not for next 6 months, but can we see you in 2021?
Yes, once the coronavirus is over and getting better, I'm going to fly to Bangalore.
Okay, and that should be the first quarter of 2021, I assume.
Depends on when the coronavirus stuff gets better, but yes.
Cool. So I keep pestering you. I would love to see you and host you in India. Thank you so much for patiently answering my question. It was a pleasure hosting you, Neil. You are awesome and be the way you are. Thank you so much for doing this.
With this note, I'll end up my podcast and I hope you guys are following me on Instagram. Already, do not forget to subscribe to instagram.com/SaurabhJain and DM me there. Maybe you get lucky with the answers on my next podcast. Have a good day, guys. Goodbye.